I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Psalms, Psalm 55. And we'll begin our reading in verse 16 of Psalm 55. This psalm has a testimony from the heart of King David, where he goes to the Lord and pleads with God for help, asking God to give ear to his prayer, to attend unto him, and then to give him wings. He prays that he would like to have wings like a dove, to fly away and be at rest. He looks for escape. But the only place of escape in this world, from this world, while we're still in this world, is to escape to the bosom of God, to meet the Lord, to commune with Him. That's the way God has designed it. There's some people who take a different route. But God is designed so that we are in this world, but not of this world, and we can find in Him the rest that we need. In verse 16 of Psalm 55, the Bible says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." I want you to notice the order that God gives us here. Evening, morning, and at noon. With a casual reading of this 55th Psalm, you might just pass over this verse. But let me give you a question. Why did not God say, "Morning, noon, and evening will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice"? I had the privilege of hearing Lester Roloff many times before he went to heaven. And this verse was one he enjoyed singing. "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. And He shall hear my voice." And he'd sing that song, that little chorus. "And He shall hear my voice. Evening and morning and at noon." I can hear His voice now, that Texas drawl, evening, morning, and at noon. What we have here is not just a statement that David makes at a difficult time in his life, but this is the Word of God. And God gives us here an open secret to victory in the Christian life. He gives us the order, evening and morning and at noon. Evening, morning, and at noon. You see, the world gets everything turned around. They don't begin with the evening. They think of the whole life situation in a different light entirely. As a matter of fact, their life is not light. Their life is darkness. God has a great principle here for us. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. We'll return here in Psalm 55 in a moment. But I want you to turn with me to the book of Genesis, to the first chapter. Just mark these expressions, if you would, please. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5, at the end of the verse, the Bible says, "And the evening and the morning were the first day." In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says at the conclusion of the verse, "And the evening and the morning were the second day." And in verse 13, the Bible says in chapter 1 of Genesis, "And the evening and the morning were the third day." And in verse 19, the Bible says, "And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." And in verse 23, the Bible says, "And the evening and the morning were the fifth day." And then in chapter 1, in verse 31, the Bible says in the closing part of the verse, "And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." The evening and the morning. God, in the very beginning here in the Garden of Eden, established this principle of the beginning of the day not being the morning, but in the evening. For the Jew, he learned from this passage that his day did not start in the morning. His day started in the evening. Evening and morning, he says. Evening and morning. Perhaps you're aware of this, but the Jew had a 12-hour day. He began at 6 in the morning, and the first hour accomplished was at 7. The second hour at 8. The third hour at 9. The fourth hour at 10. The fifth hour at 11. The sixth hour of the day was at noon. The seventh hour was at 1. The eighth hour was at 2. The ninth hour was at 3. The 10th hour of the day was at 4 in the afternoon. The 11th hour was at 5. And the 12th hour was at 6 in the evening. His night was divided into 4 watches. The day into 12 hours. The night into 4 watches. Each watch had 3 hours. The first watch of the night was from 6 until 9. The second watch of the night was from 9 until midnight. The third watch of the night was from midnight until 3 a.m. And the fourth and final watch of the night was from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And then the day started at 6 a.m. and the first hour accomplished at 7. So you had a 12-hour day and 4 watches in the night. With that in mind, I want you to turn with me to the New Testament, would you please? And there's a principle here I'm laying down, and I hope I can help you with your life. In the Gospel according to Matthew, if you'll turn there with me, please. In Matthew chapter 14, let's begin our reading in verse 22. And the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. So he begins praying in the evening. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." The fourth watch of the night was sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the fourth watch of the night. We know that to be true. Now, I want you to turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter, and to mark this one verse in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God." He continued all night in prayer to God. He went out in the evening and continued all night. He started praying in the evening and continued all night in prayer. And one more New Testament passage, if you'll turn, please, to the Gospel according to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 35, the Bible says, "Again, the next day after John stood and 2 of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the 2 disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, be interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour." Now, what time is that? The 10th hour. That's not 10 in the morning. It's 4 in the afternoon. At 4 in the afternoon, the 10th hour of the day. The 10th hour of the day. They come in contact with the Son of God. Notice the questions. In verse 38, Jesus turns to them and asks the question, "What seek ye?" And they ask him the question, "Where dwellest thou?" Think of that question. Where do you live? What do you want? What seek ye? Where do you live? Where dwellest thou? What do you want? Where do you live? What do you want? Well, where do you live? You ever think about why they had to ask him where he lived? Because the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. They would not have had to ask where Peter lived, where James lived, where John lived. But they had to ask where Jesus lived. And he said to them, "Come and see." And notice when he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him. The Bible does not say they abode in a certain place, but that they abode with a certain person. That's what it's all about. Not places, but the person of Jesus Christ. The person of Jesus Christ. I thought years ago when I came to this place, I was coming to East Tennessee. But I was not coming to East Tennessee, not primarily to East Tennessee. I was coming primarily to God. He bears us on eagle's wings and brings us unto Himself. And the Lord wants us to abide in Him. To abide in Him. And so what they did is a marvelous thing to consider. What they did is at 4 PM, they got with God the Son, and they spent the evening with God. They spent the evening with God. I want you to think with me about that thought. Evenings with God. Evenings with God. So many Christians have the order wrong. Racing in the morning, racing through the day, closing down at night. But if we're going to follow the clear teaching of the Bible, our day must begin in the evening. May I say, the evening with God. Anyone would tell you that a good night's rest is absolutely essential for your health and labor. And isn't it amazing that God has instructed us in His Word, before we retire for a good night's rest, that we spend the evening with God? Now, the world will never get that. As a matter of fact, they don't just have their days and the hours of the day confused, they have the days of the week confused. The world considers that Sunday is the last day of the week. If you don't believe it, look at what they do. Sunday is their day that everything is to stop for them as far as the work is concerned, and they're to enjoy themselves and live for their pleasure and do whatever they please, because it's the last day of the week. It's the last day before they have to get back in the grind. So their week runs. Monday's the first day, Tuesday's the second day, Wednesday's the third day, Thursday's the fourth day, Friday the fifth day, Saturday's the sixth day, and Sunday is the seventh day to the world. And they live that way. And the thing has gotten so confused that many disobedient churches are now offering people an opportunity who are busy, all busy, and have lots of things to do on Sunday. And so, like the Catholics and everybody else, some Baptists now are offering folks an opportunity to come on Saturday night and have a worship service. Well, they wouldn't call it a worship service. It's either a Jesus celebration or a praise service or something like that. It is a casually committed so-called Christianity. Plug in just a little while with us, and anybody knows, not just in Christianity, but in any area of life, you're not going to build anything strong with a casual approach. Can you imagine an Olympic athlete being told, just plug in every once in a while? Can you imagine such a thing? Can you imagine in marriage people saying to somebody, just plug in every once in a while? Can you imagine that? No. It doesn't work that way. God has clearly taught us in His Word that the first day of the week is the Lord's Day, that is Sunday, and that we are to come aside and worship God on the Lord's Day, to meet with God and abide with God and to worship Him in spirit and truth and to prepare our hearts for the rest of the week, having done what we should do on the Lord's Day. To bring our gifts to God on the Lord's Day. To bring our hearts to God on the Lord's Day. To bring our worship to the Lord on the Lord's Day. And why the first day? Because it's the day of His resurrection. And we rejoice in our risen Savior, our ascended Lord, who ever liveth at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. And we mustn't get caught up, those of us who are Christians now, must not get caught up in the perversion of the order of things that the world has come up with. We mustn't do that. And by the way, if we're going to have real victory in our Christian lives, we're going to take this, what will be called, radical approach to the day, too. It will not begin in the morning. It will begin in the evening. Evenings with God. Evening, and then morning, and at noon. Evenings with God. In other words, there should be a time in the evening when we meet the Lord, when we abide in the Lord, when we're constantly abiding in Him, but when we deliberately set time aside to to have an evening with God, to have our evenings with God. That doesn't sound like what's going on in most lives. Most homes, even Christian homes, have the television going on full blast in the evening. People rushing in the evening. Family members going in every direction in the evening. Lots of noise in the house in the evening. Running late for everything in the evening. Finally, exhausted, falling asleep in the evening. With little or no thought to planning and preparation for the night. In the evening. And then hurry becomes the scourge of the morning. And off we go into the day. Without God, without God's Word. Nakedly, spiritually naked. Running around. Never showing forth Christ as we should. All that can be cared for. Giving the evenings to God. You know, before people made so much of the night and tried to cram so much in, they knew the value of the evening. Why don't you think for a moment about your evenings, what you do in your evenings? Do you get settled down? Or do you get wound up? Does your life get quieter? Is there a calm or confusion? What do you find in the evenings? Evenings with God. Let me give you a little list. I want you to write it down, would you please? If you're going to have evenings with God, in the evenings with God, we'll find, number one, faith. We'll find faith. Faith is looking unto Jesus. Faith that reflects on the activity of the day, believing that God's hand was in it all, and delivering it all to God, resting in the Lord, knowing that God is in control, not only of this universe, but of our lives. And we have a soul rest by trusting in the Lord. In the evenings with God, we find faith. In the evenings with God, we find gratitude. Gratitude. The Lord has seen us through the day. He allows us to be together, hopefully with our families. Some who live alone, alone with God. When someone asks you to live alone, you say, yes, I live alone with God. You widows who live alone, you live alone with God. You widowers who live alone, you live alone with God. You single adults live alone, I live alone with God. You're not alone, see. You're just alone with God. And the evenings with God, in the evenings with God, we'll find gratitude. Because when we commune with the Lord and abide in the Lord, we can't be grumbling and griping about everything we don't have. We'll be grateful to God for what we have. We'll find gratitude. In the evenings with God, we find Bible reading. Keep your Bible handy. Know where you are. If you're systematically reading through the Word of God, if you stop in one place, pick up another. Of course, you may read your Bible in the morning. You may read verses in the morning. You may read a verse at noon. You may prime the pump of your heart to get in tune with God with Bible verses every time you pray. But in the evening, let there be Scripture. And that's when you read the Bible story designated for the day. But there's Bible reading. God speaks to us through His Word. In the evenings with God, there ought to be not only Bible reading, there ought to be fellowship. Fellowship. If it's fellowship with you and the Lord, wonderful. If it's fellowship with you and the Lord and other family members, but let there be fellowship. Meaning, find what you have in common. Do you know your own family? Turn the TV off. Put the books down. Lay aside the newspaper. In this evening with God, find fellowship with God and family members. Find what you have in common. Talk to one another. Speak to one another. This is vital. Let your heart quiet down. and talk with another. In these evening with God, then let there be testimony. Testimony. If you're not careful, you find yourself just dragging and complaining and disgusted about what you didn't get done. But turn the thing around. In these evenings with God, let there be testimony. Brag on the Lord. Give glory to God. There's no doubt that the praises of God's people testifying and talking about the goodness of God in the evenings with God will drive the devil far away. In the evenings with God, let there be prayer. I want you to touch the loved ones in your home. Touch their hands. Hold their hands. Pray together. Make it an evening with God. Our homes ought to be serene places, not battlefields. And we're to blame for much of that. I've got my favorite TV program, you say, to watch. Turn the crazy thing off. I put it in the closet. See, I have to watch my news. Well, if you have to get a little news, most people are overdosed with it. Get a little news, but don't get overdosed with it. You don't need all that. We all have more information than we know what to do with. We live in an information age. It's not for lack of information we have today. It's a lack of truth that we have today. Make it a time of prayer. Doesn't necessarily have to be long, lengthy prayers, but in this evening with God, there'll be prayers. Get your heart quiet. And then there'll be meditation. And maybe the right kind of music in your home will help with that meditation. I'm not talking about the kind of Christian music you dance to. I wouldn't call that Christian music. Now, you might have holy laughter come on you someday and rejoice in the Lord and dance all over your house just rejoicing in God. There's nothing wrong with that. I've had a few spells like that myself. I wish I had more of them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the kind of music that you can't tell the difference in that music and the world's music. That's not going to quiet your heart and cause you to meditate on God. That's just going to get you worked up. Now, we don't always follow the rules, but we have rules around our house. Some of the rules around our house is we don't read ridiculous things at night like bad news reports and news magazines and horror things. And we don't do that. If we're reading something, it's about the Lord, about God's people. My wife is reading a biography about Dr. Hiles right now, and she's the fundamental man. She's loving every minute of it. Can't put it down. And she's decided she'll read a little portion of it each evening. You want me to tell you what I'm reading? If you want me to tell you what I'm reading, you probably would be in a state of shock. But I'm reading the life of Queen Elizabeth I of England and enjoying every minute of it. And I told her last night as we were lying there in bed, I said, "Isn't it amazing? I'm reading about the Queen of England. You're reading about the King of Fundamentalism, you know? You're reading about a man. I'm reading about a woman." But no hard, no heavy stuff. Because you know what I want to do? I want to be able to think about the goodness of God and the fact that I'm in God's work and God is blessing us and God is providing for us. I want our home to be a place where we have an evening with God each evening. Evenings with God. And you know, when you have an evening with God, you can lay your head on a pillow and get a good night's rest. Have a much better start for the next day. Evening, morning, and at noon. You say, "I've never thought of it this way," but let's think of it this way. You say, "I've never done it this way." Well, try it this way. Just try it for a while. Bring your family in. Tell them you're going to try this for a while. If you're having some sort of entertainment in your home, put a limit on the thing. Put a time limit on the thing. But let there be a time when you're together. It doesn't have to take a long time, but a time when there's faith. Time of gratitude. A time of testimony. A time of fellowship. A time of prayer. A time of meditation. A time of Bible reading. Evenings with God. I think it'd be a blessed thing indeed if people all across this land would stop at evening just to meet God and meditate on how good God is and read God's Word and pray together. But if people all across this land won't do it, why can't we say there's going to be one church where many of our families decide that we're going to have evenings with God? And every evening and morning and at noon will I pray, and He shall hear my voice. He shall hear my voice. And He shall. Let's bow in prayer, may we?